tonight, what's interesting is I really felt like the Lord wanted me to speak on hearts, and Pastor Jim spoke on that this morning, but that's okay. That's all right. It's going to be a little bit different of a twist. So we know, do you guys know, your heart matters? And not just because he loves you and he cares what's in your heart, but the contents of your heart matter. And we also know that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And how do we get the word in abundance in our heart? You just keep getting into it, getting into it, getting into it. But do you know that if you change what you're feasting on, if you change your meals, then that's what's going to be in the abundance of your heart. That's going to be the abundance of my heart. It's not like just because our hearts were full of the word once that it stays that way. We have to continually feast on the word so that what's constantly in abundance in our heart is the word of God and not just junk food. Amen? So tonight we're going to talk about hearts, but when I talk about heart tonight, I'm not actually referring to our human spirit, though that's totally good, and often in the Bible, the word heart and spirit is interchangeable in terms of talking about the new man. Okay, we know that, but that's not really what I'm going to talk about tonight. Tonight, we're going to talk about the heart attitude or a position of the heart regarding how we operate in life and how we receive from God and how we live for God. That's really what we're going to talk about. And we're going to start by looking at Old Testament kings, which is interesting. It's a good. So we're going to start in 2 Chronicles chapter 15. So why don't you go ahead and go there. We're going to read and we're going to jump back and forth a bit to the New Testament, but just keep your hands there in 2 Chronicles. So what are the different positions of the heart that some of these kings took toward the Lord? That's what we're going to look at tonight. So 2 Chronicles 15. Okay, we're going to start by looking at King Asa, and we're going to just read, okay? And the Spirit of the Lord came upon, Azariah, the son of Oded. And he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while ye be with him, and if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. Now for a long season Israel had been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. And when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. And nation was destroyed of nation, and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. Be strong therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of the land of Judah and Benjamin, and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon, for they fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. Just take that in for a second. People fell to him when they saw that God was with him. If people can start seeing when God is with us, they're going to fall to Jesus. You know what I'm saying? They're going to come. So they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa, and they offered unto the Lord at the same time of the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep, and they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul, that whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. And they sware unto the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting, with trumpets and with cornets, and all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their what? All their heart, and sought him with their whole desire, and he was found of them. And the Lord gave them rest round about. Now just remember, go back to verse 2 there. What does they say? The prophet tells Asa, the Lord God is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. Do you hear that? So look at over in 15. And he was found of them. God keeps his promises. When we seek God with all our heart, he's found of us. It's amazing. So when people say, like, I'm praying and I don't get anything from the Lord, it's like, well, maybe your whole heart's not in it. Because his promise is that when we seek him with our whole hearts, we find him. He's found of us. And then the benefit was that the Lord gave them rest round about. Let's keep reading. And also concerning Maacah, the mother of Asa, the king, he removed her from being queen because she had made an idol in a grove. And Asa cut down her idol and stamped it and burnt it at the brook Kidron. Now, he's doing all these amazing things, is he not? At the beginning it says that, you know, he served God. If you go back a little bit further, it said that he was perfect before the Lord, meaning he walked with God. He did things that were right. Okay? And he even, he took courage, it says, and he took down idols and all that. But can you imagine now this next part where he removed his mom from being queen because she had idols? Like, that takes guts. I mean, you got to be bold for that. You know what I mean? I have a hard time because I grew up in a family, like an extended family, where there's very much respect for the older generation. Like, we were very much taught, like, you don't mouth off to your aunts and uncles and your grandparents and your parents. I mean, you do what they say. Now, you're king, let's say, and you have this mindset, and your mom, the person who raised you, and you say, I'm sorry, I'm removing you. You can't be queen because you serve idols. You got to be bold for that. He's doing things for the Lord, is he not? He's doing things that we read past really quick, but they're kind of hard. I think that's a hard one, you know? He would have taken flack from some people for cutting down their idols out in the groves. Verse 17, but the high places were not taken away. Okay, one thing he didn't do out of Israel. Nevertheless, look at this. The heart of Asa was perfect all his days. And he brought into the house of God the things that his father had dedicated and that he himself had dedicated, silver and gold vessels. And there was no more war until the 35th year of the reign of Asa. So here's this king. It says that he was perfect. And sometimes that word means that he was mature. So because no one's actually perfect. But you know what it's really talking about? It's talking about that he didn't go out and start committing a bunch of sin himself. That's what it's talking about. And this so goes in line with what Pastor was talking about this morning, is that you can do all these wonderful things. But what was the word of the Lord to him? When you seek me with all your heart, I'll be found of you. And so we see that something shifted, because in the very next chapter, we're going to start keep reading a bit. In the very next chapter, we see some things happen here. And we know that things have shifted. So let's read. In the 36th year, so he had rest for 36 years of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel. Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah to the extent that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. Then Asa brought out silver and gold of the treasuries of the house of the Lord and of the king's house and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt in Damascus, saying, there is a league between me and thee, as there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Go, break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me. And Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa and sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel. And they smote Ijon and Dan and Abel-Maim and all the store cities of Naphtali. And it came to pass when Baasha heard it that he left off building Ramah and let his work cease. Then Asa the king took all Judah and they carried away the stones of Ramah and the timber thereof wherewith Baasha was building. And he built therewith Geba and Mizpah. So basically the king of Israel is trying to come against him. He's trying to build like a siege that so they can't get in or get out, which basically if you can't get out of a city, eventually famine and pestilence and all this starts happening. And so King Asa makes a league with the king of Syria. That's what's going on right here. But then, so what he says, yes, gives him silver and gold. So Baasha leaves. And then he takes all the timber and the stones that they were going to build, and they build two other cities. And the two other cities are Geba and Mizpah. Verse 7, and at that time, Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubans a huge host? And if you read in chapter 14, you'll hear that they overcame the Ethiopians with the Lord. And you have to understand, the Ethiopians, the Bible said, had 1,000 times 1,000. They had 1 million soldiers to Asa's 580,000 soldiers. and they had the victory. And at that time, he trusted God, even though that those are big numbers, even though the Ethiopians almost doubled, you know, their numbers, they still overcame. So this prophet comes to him and says, like, we're not the Ethiopians, and Lubim's a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen. Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth, thou shalt have wars. And this is what Asa does. And this is how you know his heart is departed from the Lord. But keep in mind, the Bible says that he was perfect all the days of his life, meaning he did everything that was right. But you know his heart was far, because this is what he does to the prophet. Asa was wroth with the seer and put him in a prison house, for he was enraged with him because of this thing. As though he he's just the messenger. As though this guy had any power, it was God that was speaking through him. And Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. And behold, the acts of Asa, first and last, lo, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet, until his disease was exceedingly great. And this is what happened. Yet in his disease, he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. So he was doing everything right. But at some point, he walked away from that word that he got, which is that when you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. At some point, he had to have walked away from that, because he would have trusted the Lord. He had been trusting the Lord before then. Side note here, in the last verse, verse 19 of chapter 15, it says that he had rest for 35 years. Earlier in the chapter in 15, it says, don't let your hands hang down. Don't be feeble. Even in rest, there's times, there's things that we need to do to keep our hearts right with the Lord. You know, I think that he was resting. He was like, oh, good. He was just coasting. And he let his heart get far from God. First example of a heart, King Asa, someone who starts strong and doesn't finish strong. But the Bible says what? We have need of endurance. We have need of patient endurance. Let's go to that, actually. Let's go to Hebrews 10. We're just going to read a little bit. Hebrews 10, we're going to start at verse 35. We want to finish strong, amen? We don't want to quit. You can be doing everything right, and your heart can be really far from the Lord. Staying strong in him means that you're pressing into him, means that your heart is close to him. Jesus said in Matthew 24:13, those who endure until the end will be saved. Pastor Jim said that this morning. We have to endure. We have need of endurance. Verse 35 of chapter 10 of Hebrews, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, and that word patience is synonymous with endurance. You can't have one without the other in the Greek language. You have to have patient endurance, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. So, see, part of that is, you see how Asa, remember how Asa, he had rest for like 35 years? He obviously wasn't seeking the Lord and doing what he needed to do. And verse 37 just correlates with that. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. When we're feeling like God is tarrying for an answer to prayer, for revival, for healing, we have to stand and endure. Stay strong in the Lord. Verse 38, now the just shall live by faith. But if, this hits me, this verse. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. I want my father's soul to be pleased with me. Can you imagine? I don't want to stand before him one day and his soul is not pleased with me. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. We have need of endurance. We can't quit. We got to keep going. Go back to 2 Chronicles, this time 24. We're going to look at King Joash. King Joash, he was a good king. At least that's what the Bible says. And we're not going to read as much this time, but we are going to read a little bit. 2 Chronicles 24, starting at verse 1. Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Zebiah of Beersheba. And Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. And Jehoiada took for him 2 wives, and he begat sons and daughters. And it came to pass after this that Joash was minded to repair the house of the Lord. And if you keep going, which we're not going to keep reading, he actually does repair the house of the Lord. He you know, asks for offerings, and then the people give in abundance, and he takes all of that and he repairs the house. And it hadn't been repaired in so long. Like, he did really great things for the Lord. Again, tribute to Pastor Jim's message this morning. We can be doing a bunch of things for the Lord and still have the wrong heart. So he's doing all this stuff. He's building the temple. He gets money. I mean, these prosperity preachers would have loved him, because, I mean, they had so much, he had to tell them to stop. He also made vessels of gold and silver for the priests to use in the temple. Another thing he did was he removed Athaliah, which was the previous king's wicked mother, who had usurped the throne. Remember, she had reigned for a little while there. He removed her. But let's go to verse 17, and we'll see something. This is what happened after Jehoiada the priest died. Verse 17. Now, after the death of Jehoiada, came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the king. Then the king hearkened unto them. And they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served groves and idols. And wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their trespass. Yet he sent prophets to them to bring them again unto the Lord, and they testified against them, but they would not give ear. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada the priest. Remember Jehoiada the priest, the one that was with Joash, the one that he served, the one that he loved, okay? The one that he served God as long as Jehoiada was alive. This is his son, Zechariah. And Zechariah said unto them, thus saith God, why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord that ye cannot prosper? Because ye have forsaken the Lord, he has also forsaken you. And they conspired against him and stoned him with stones at the commandment of the king in the court of the house of the Lord. Can you imagine? That is like me taking, like, you're my friend, and I take your child and I stone them for giving me a bad word, a word that I didn't like. It's close. It hits, when you think of it like that, it hits home a little bit more. We just look at that like, oh yeah, he didn't really like this guy. But it was somebody that he grew up with, his kid. And he probably hung out with Zechariah if he was always around his father. Verse 22, thus Joash the king remembered not the kindness which Jehoiada his father had done to him, but slew his son. And when he died, he said, the Lord look upon it and require it. And it came to pass at the end of the year that the host of Syria came up against him, now the king, and they came to Judah and Jerusalem and destroyed all the princes of the people from among the people and sent all the spoil of them unto the king of Damascus. For the army of the Syrians came with a small company of men, and the Lord delivered a very great host into their hand because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. So they executed judgment against Joash. And when they were departed from him, for they left him in great diseases. You know what that means? I looked it up. They basically beat him up. He was wounded. They left him in great diseases. His own servants conspired against him for the blood of the sons of Jehoiada the priest, and slew him on his bed, and he died. And they buried him in the city of David, but they buried him not in the sepulchres of the kings. That's Joash. Second heart. Joash was doing good. But then the man that was kind of keeping him accountable died. And then he began to listen to other men. And he hearkened unto the other men. The second heart is influenced by men more than God. There's something that's called the fear of man. And it's interesting because on one hand, I can be a very, very bold person. And on the other hand, I've always kind of been a pleaser. So it's this weird combination. But until God is everything and in first place, you're always going to be kind of pulled. We can't be more influenced. It's not that men can't influence us. It's that it has to be in the right order, right? And again, Pastor said this morning, we're not going to go there, but basically, you know, when Paul said, if I still basically cared about what men thought, I wouldn't be the servant of Christ. You can't be both. You can't be the servant and care about what men think, but also the servant of Christ. That's the second heart. We're going to look at Jehoshaphat, which is chapter 17. I'm just going to go back a little bit. He was a good king. God really blessed him. And we're going to read in 2 Chronicles 17, verse 3, just 3 and 4. And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David and sought not unto Balaam, but sought the Lord God of his father and walked in his commandments and not after the doings of Israel. I think it'd be a really great honor to be likened to David, don't you think, in that day? He said he walked just like David. And yet, there was a problem with Jehoshaphat, is that he aligned himself with a wicked king, with Ahab. And he was rebuked a couple times, and in fact, he was almost killed in battle one time because people were coming after Ahab to kill him. And Ahab's like, firstly, duh, Jehoshaphat. Ahab's like, they're after me, so you wear my clothes. Wouldn't you be like, hold on, they're going to mistake me for you and kill me? That's almost exactly what happened. But see, God was with him and delivered him. And yet still, look over at verse chapter 19, 1 and 2. And Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem. Okay, this is after he's visiting a couple times. And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, Shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. So he was a righteous and good king, but he kept bad company. What does that make you think of in the New Testament? 1 Corinthians, we don't go there, I'll just read it. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. But in the Amplified, this is what it says. Evil companionships, communion, associations corrupt and deprave good manners and morals and character. Now, interestingly enough, do you guys think that God knows what he's doing? Right? Why do you think he would care who Jehoshaphat hangs out with? Because he knows how much we can be influenced. So even though Jehoshaphat remained godly in spite of hanging out with Ahab, do you know what happened? His son was very wicked. And the Bible says it's because he married one of Ahab's daughters. Now question, how do you think he met Ahab's daughter? When his dad brought him to Ahab's house. See, back then when they visited, they didn't just like go for a day and come back in their car. It was long, so they stayed for long periods of time. Well, that's just long enough for the romance to blossom. God, we got to trust God's wisdom a bit more. A lot more. We just must trust it. Let's just say it like that. We must trust his wisdom. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. When he says bad company corrupts good morals, he means it. And so just because you think, I heard Pastor Jim say this a long time, you think you're the one that this isn't going to affect, the word of God is the word of God. I'm paraphrasing, that's not exactly how he said it, but basically, when it says don't be deceived, it's because we go around thinking, oh, it's not going to happen to me. I'm going to stand strong, I'm going to be able to hang out like all the time with, you know, sinners, and it's not going to affect me. But the Bible says that's not true. Do not be deceived. And you guys, you know I'm not talking about how you work in the world and how, you know, some family isn't born again and how, you know, you go out and minister to people who are lost. That's not what I'm talking about. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Hanging out. Jehoshaphat was there having fun with Ahab. And it affected his son and the kingdom from there on. And you know what's amazing to me is when parents in the kings, it actually really bothers me. The prophets will come and say, everything is good for you, but in the next generation or your kids are going to suffer. And they're like, oh, okay, good, as long as it's good for me. I'm like, what? What parent thinks that? No, it's true. Hezekiah said that too. It's really annoying. It's like, dude. Right? So, third heart is a heart that is not wise concerning the company they keep. fourth heart. We're not going to read it. I'm just going to tell you about King Amaziah. He was a good king, and he even started out serving God. But after a victorious battle with the Edomites, he takes the Edomites' gods and then starts serving them. Like, duh. It's so hard to believe this, because the reason why he won the battle against Edomites is because God was with him. And then he's going to take some little object that's there and be like, ooh, I think I'll serve you instead of the one that just like supernaturally helped me defeat this army. It's so strange, but this is what he did. So the fourth heart is disloyalty to God. And that one's really bad, right? Like, think about teams. Like, if Jason suddenly was like a Buckeye fan, or Pastor Jim was suddenly a Michigan fan. Like, that's not going to happen. Jason's leaving the room. Pastor's just sitting there like, no, yeah. You know, the Toronto, hell is freezing over Barry said. The Toronto Maple Leafs have not won the Stanley Cup since before I was born, and till the day I die, they will be my team, even though I barely even pay attention to them anymore. But I grew up watching them. They were my team. Okay, it's silly, but how much more loyal should we be to the Lord? Do you know what I mean? Like, sometimes it's easy to let things creep in and be like, well, I'll give my time to this, I'll give my time to that, I'll give my time to this. And it's not that in our hearts we think, oh good, I'm going to like sell my time to something bad. Usually it's not like we make that decision, but it's like it gets eaten away, and then we don't realize that maybe our heart's not quite as loyal as it needs to be. We've sold our time to stuff that's not him. With all these kings, they did what was right, but their hearts strayed from the Lord, and it was always the beginning of their fall. So again, going back to what Pastor Jim said this morning, you can be doing everything right. God, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we do all these wonderful things in your name? And he said, away from me, I never knew you. I think we can see ourselves in some of these hard attitudes, at least in some areas. But what about the hard attitude of unforgiveness? I really felt like the Lord wanted me to share that tonight. He says we're to forgive, and that's it. You know, I've struggled with unforgiveness a little bit. Not a lot, but there's been few people in my life. Like, I'm not easily offended, but then when I am, I'm really hurt, and it's hard for me to get over the hurt. We have to do what the Bible says, which is pray for those who have hurt us, who have used us, or spitefully, you know, done things to us. Right, that's what we have to do. And you know how you're free? Is when you can pray blessing on the person and you mean it. If you're just like trying to stay back and you're like, okay, I'm okay and I'm not angry anymore, that's actually not forgiveness. At least it's the beginning of forgiveness, but it's not completed forgiveness. Completed forgiveness says, I can pray that you're blessed and I mean it with all my heart. That's it. That's it. So if there's unforgiveness in your heart for anyone, toward anyone or anything tonight, please, please, please take this seriously. Take it to the Lord, okay? Because this is a hard attitude that will stop you in your tracks, just like those kings. You know, what about the hard attitude of disobedience? God's been on you for so long about doing something or getting rid of something or whatever, and you just haven't done it. And honestly, I think that one's hard because it covers a whole multitude of things. But it doesn't have to be hard. It's hard in the sense of like, oh my goodness, there's so much, you know? Like, Father, really show me how to navigate that. But there's another one I really felt the Lord wanted me to say, and that was, what about the hard attitude of murmuring and complaining? Bum, bum, bum. It's very quiet in here right now. Do we complain? Murmuring and complaining is so bad because at the heart of it, it's you don't trust God. Oh man, Lord Jesus, help me not complain. See, our hearts matter because they matter to God. God is looking at the heart. Remember in 1 Samuel, we won't go there, chapter 16. Samuel goes and he's anointing the king and he doesn't know who it is. And so Jesse brings out all his sons and he's like, bring the tall one and bring the handsome one. And then it's like, no, it's none of these. Don't you have any more son? And then finally he brings David. But I'm going to read it. 1 Samuel 16:7 says, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as a man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Since God is looking at our hearts, we should really care about the contents of our hearts. We should really care about our heart attitude. We should really care about the position that we take concerning kingdom things and obedience. And if we don't set our hearts towards God, then eventually something will come along that pulls us off and takes our hearts. You actually have to set it. You actually have to say this. This is what I'm doing. And guys, in revival, we must have an immovable heart. We must. There cannot be a back door. One of the best pieces of advice I got when I first got married was from my sister. She said, Jamie, when you go into marriage, there can't be ever like a back door. Like if this doesn't work, I'm heading. You go into it, go, that's it. This is it for life. Right? The world may say there's a back door, but we don't say that. There's no back door with God. There's no other options. There's no other way. It's God or bust. Right? This must be our heart attitudes. Our hearts matter. Proverbs 4:23 says that we must keep our hearts with all diligence. Jesus had to do this daily. He did because they wanted to. How many times did they want to come and make him king? He could have had everything this world has to offer. He could have had, you know, they wanted to make him king. He could have been that. He could have been like just, you know, like using his power in wrong ways to harm people. I mean, Jesus could have had everything. He had to constantly keep his heart because the Father had spoken to him that, no, you need to go and you need to be the redemption of the whole world, which was really hard. But he had to keep his heart with all diligence. If Jesus had to keep his heart, then we must as well. See, without your heart being settled in terms of seeking God, getting all those attitudes out of there that hinder us, then you are really not going to benefit the same way from the pillars that you could. I'm not going to benefit from them. Because if there's always a way out, if there's always a disloyalty, if there's always a disobedience, if there's always an unforgiveness, if there's always, you name it, all the things we've gone over tonight, that will take the place. And so you're doing all the pillars or you're doing the keys or whatever, and God's bringing stuff up, but because you're not submitted in those areas, because your heart is far from him in those areas, because the position of your heart says, I will do it my way, you are not going to get the benefits. But here's the really good news. If we set our heart and be diligent about setting our heart and keep it on the Lord, every time he puts his finger on something that's wrong in our heart, we say, yes, Lord, I submit that to you. And then we couple that with the pillars, we're going to be unstoppable. Unstoppable, not for our glory, but for his, amen? And we need that. I want the character of God in my life more than I want the power, though I want the power. See, the power is already ours, right? He already did it. He's already handed it to us. But I want the character to go along with it. I want the love to go along with it. I want the maturity so that when people, even if people spit in my face, I can love them and lead them to Jesus. And, you know, that's happened before. Ministers of old, do you know that some revivalists, they were like urinated on and stuff, spit upon. We hear stories and it's like so far away. Can you handle that? I mean, I don't know. I say that. I mean, like, we don't know. Has anyone ever urinated on us? Not me. Well, maybe a child when they were little, but no. Right? Somebody has back there. If we want revival, we need to set our hearts and keep them set on the Lord. And then continue just to keep setting them on the Lord and setting them on the Lord and setting them on the Lord, because revival won't happen if we don't have an immovable heart. Amen? So let's just take some time now. We're going to take 20 minutes. We're going to just pray in the Spirit. Because again, no revival ever happened without praying. So we're going to pray. Amen. Amen. That time goes so fast for me. I want to reiterate one thing. It's about unforgiveness. If that is you, you need to deal with it. What does it mean to be immovable, have an immovable heart? It's not be immovable on the thing you're offended with. So you're not going to move off your offense because they wronged you. It's you're going to be immovable regarding God's word and what it says about how you deal with it. That's the heart. Second thing is two messages today on hearts, your heart attitude to the Lord. I know Pastor Jim's was more in depth than that, but just basically take it to heart, right? And thirdly, on a little bit more of a serious note, when we were up here worshiping near the end, just a word of a knowledge or something that basically the Lord shared with my heart. There's some one, two, I don't know how many, but you really, really are operating in unbelief right now concerning something in your life, and you need to hit it. You need to fast, pray, do whatever it takes, because if you don't, it's the thing that's going to take you out. So, I mean, we all have measures and levels, but it was very strong for a couple people. So if that's you, just receive it, amen, because God wants you here and not to die young or wrong. I love Kenneth Hagin, apparently just said, that's it. Just passed away, went to be with the Lord one day. I love that. Amen. So thank you all so much for being here. Thank you for watching tonight.